Now, anyone ever dream? Anyone ever have any dreams? Yes, we've got a few dreamers. What kind of things do you dream about? What kind of... tell me what kind of things you dream about. What do you dream about?
Mermaids and unicorns.
We're on the blue mic, Dan. Mermaids and unicorns. What kind of things do you dream about?
I dream that I save the world. Bye.
He saves the world. What about you?
I dream about superhero.
You dream being a superhero. Wow. Anyone dream about flying? Anyone ever used to dream about flying when they were little? Yeah, Lisa, you dream about that? About flying, yeah, in the sky. I used to dream about flying as well. It was great, wasn't it? Best dream ever, absolutely. Well, today's story in Genesis chapter 41 is about Pharaoh's, who was like the king overall, Pharaoh's dream. And he had a couple of dreams in the middle of the night. And the first dream he had, he was standing by a river, a big river that was flowing, a river Nile. And while he was standing there, seven big, fat, healthy cows came out of the river Nile to the reeds at the side of the bank, the river bank, and started eating the reeds. Now, I need seven cows. Who wants to be one of the seven healthy cows? Who wants to be a cow?
Come on.
Come on. Come on then. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Who wants to be a big fat?
Big, fat, healthy cow. There you go. One each. One each. There's one. You want, right, okay, wait a minute, we've got something for you. Okay.
You've got to stay up here, guys, stay up here with your
cows. Okay, can all the healthy cows come over to this side over here? Okay, show everyone your cow. That way round. Do the moving that way. There we go. Right, and then the dream carried on. And what happened next was there were seven more cows came out the river, but these seven cows were thin and scrawny and quite ugly, and they came out. So who wants to be an ugly cow? Come on. No, you've got a healthy cow. Come back
you
over
can't
there.
Be both.
There
you go. Be a healthy cow.
There you go. There we go. There we go.
Come on, guys.
I need a few more.
No, stop
a
it.
A few more, two more.
Not
now.
You go over there, please. You're
here
a
we go.
Cow.
There you go. You can be one as well. You can be one as well.
Right, okay, I need one more scrawny cow, please. Excellent, Layla. Fabulous.
Okay, so.
Billy, we love Willing from
two. So then what happened next was the fat and big, healthy, big cows went and ate all the scrawny cows.
No, they didn't, Phil. You've forgotten the story.
I have forgotten the story.
You forgot the story.
No, that didn't happen. That was just to test you.
That was in your dream, wasn't it?
That was just to test you. What happened next was the scrawny cows, the very thin cows, came and ate the big fat cows. So go and get them. Go and get them. You can bash them on the head. Bash them on the head with your scrawny cow.
Yeah, the big fat cows need to go down onto the ground.
So you can go down.
Down on the
ground. You're all eaten up.
Yeah, you're all eaten up.
And now hold the scrawny cows up. You're the winners. Okay, they won. But they stayed thin and scrawny. They didn't get any fatter by doing it. They stayed thin and scrawny. And that was the end of that dream. So all put your cows down on the floor here, on the steps. And you can stay out because I need your help again in a minute. So just throw those ones down. Because then Pharaoh woke up and he thought, what was all that about? That was a silly dream. He didn't understand it. So he went back to sleep again and he had another dream. And this time in his dream, he was standing in a field, not by a river, and seven healthy, big ears of corn came up on a single stalk and grew up. Who wants to be a healthy stick of corn? You're getting the idea now, aren't you? Here we go. And then There were seven thin, unhealthy ones that grew up, and they grew up beside the other ones. So we've got some so scrawny.
Two, oh, we're still healthy left, ones. Two healthy left.
Healthy ones.
Yeah, funny enough.
Healthy ones.
People want...
Healthy ones.
You want a healthy... That's an
healthy
unhealthy
ones.
One.
There you are.
Right. It's funny now who wants to be what, isn't it?
scrawny ones. Scrawny ones. There we go. There we go. One more over here. There you go. That one. Oh, we can take one of the adult ones. Yeah, you can be a healthy one. There you go.
There you go.
Right, okay. So now, what happened next? We'll get it right this time. The unhealthy ones...
Okay, turn your things round so people can see where
you are.
Make sure
you can see the unhealthy ones. They grew up and they swallowed up the big healthy ones. So go and bash them on the head with your healthy, with your scrawny one.
We need all the healthy corn to go down to the ground.
All the healthy ones go down on the ground.
Down on the ground. And if you're unhealthy, then you triumph. But you still look unhealthy and horrible.
Okay, and then Pharaoh woke up, so his dream's over, so you can put those ones down as well with the cows here. Put those ones down as well, there you go. That's it. And now you can go and sit down again. You can either sit down here, or you can sit down over there, but wherever. Sit down, that's it. So Pharaoh woke up, and he was really confused and concerned. He thought, what was all that about? Does anybody know, any of the children know, what those dreams might have been about? You think you know? Go on, you tell me. Wait a second, let me get a microphone. You tell me what you think it was about.
About 7 years of good crops and then 7 years of bad crops.
And famine.
And famine. Okay, we will find out if you're right in a minute. Very good. But Pharaoh at this point didn't know what the dream was about. So what he did was he called all the wise men, all the clever men. You'd have probably been one of them, actually. He called all the wise men and the magicians and he got them all together and he said, can anyone tell me what these dreams are about? And he told them the dreams, and they didn't have a clue. They didn't understand the dreams. And he was getting quite perplexed by this. No one could interpret it. And then the chief cupbearer, do you remember the man that was in prison, who got out of prison, that Joseph had said, remember me, don't forget me, and he got out of prison. The cupbearer remembered at that point, Joseph, this was a long, 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 long time afterwards, because he'd forgotten about him till then. But he remembered Joseph, and he remembered that Joseph had interpreted, had given the answer, the meaning of the dreams that they had when they were in prison. So he said to Pharaoh, I know a guy, he's in prison, but he's good at interpreting dreams and explaining them. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph and told him to come. Now Joseph was in prison. He'd been accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to kiss her and a bit more. And he was in prison. Yes, he was in prison. So
he was in prison.
Someone can be Joseph in prison. There you go. There's Joseph in prison.
Don't you love our illustrations this morning? There you go. Joseph in prison.
Joseph in prison. So Pharaoh called for Joseph to see if he could explain what the dreams were about. So Joseph, you can come out of prison now. There he is. And Joseph came to explain. Sue, will you come and read a little bit from the story, please, for us, so we can hear what happens next in our story today. Thank you.
Genesis chapter 41, verses 25 to 30. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears of corn are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless ears of corn, scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land.
Thanks, Sue. So you were right before when you said it was about years of plenty when food would be stored 7 years, when food would grow in abundance for 7 years, and then there would be 7 years of famine. That was what Joseph explained. Both dreams had the same meaning. There was going to be plenty of food in Egypt for 7 years, but then no food around. And actually, the whole world was going to have this famine all around, and people wouldn't have enough food. So Pharaoh said, oh no, what can we do then about this? This is a real problem. What can we do? Joseph, what do you think? And Joseph said, I think what we need to do is we need to get someone really wise to think about this. And probably what they need to do is they need to store up food from the 7 years we've got that there's lots of food growing. Let's take some of it and put it to one side and keep it and store it ready for the years when there's not going to be enough food, so we've got enough to share out. Makes sense, doesn't it? Don't know why only one person could figure it out, but anyway, they did. And Pharaoh said, who can we get to do this? Well, you figured it out, so you're fairly wise, so we'll use you. I want you to do it. So he put Joseph in charge of looking after all this. He gave Joseph a robe. He gave him his special ring to put on his finger. He gave him a chain around his neck. He stuck him on a chariot and paraded him through the streets. And he said, this is now my right hand, in effect. This person is going to be in charge of everything in my kingdom. He's second in command to me as Pharaoh. And Joseph is going to have lots of authority and power. And if he says you have to do something, you have to do it. So Joseph had gone from prison to this very powerful position. And he gave him a special name. The name that he gave Joseph was Zaphenath-Paniah. Zaphenath-Paniah. And what that means is Savior of the World. He was going to be the one that would save the world during this period of famine. Another interpretation of it is God and life. God and life, because it was revealed to him by God, and in some way he had demonstrated these qualities of God in interpreting. No one else could do it, and he was bringing life to people. Another interpretation of it is the one who furnishes the nourishment of life. Don't know if this is reminding you of anybody, but this is the name given to Joseph. Interestingly, Joseph was 30 years old when this happened to him. And he travelled throughout the land fulfilling this ministry. And he stored up food, and then the famine hit the whole world and the people were hungry. And it was Joseph who was in charge of feeding everybody. And it says in Genesis 41, all the world came to him and Joseph was able to feed them. Any who came to him were saved. Interesting parallels, isn't it? Joseph's story in foreshadowing Jesus. And that's what we've been trying to share with the children through this series. The things that Sue was talking about before. In each chapter of Genesis, Genesis 37, 38, 39, 40. Now we're on chapter 41 today and we're carrying on. Looking at how many parallels there are between Joseph's life and Jesus as a foreshadowing of it. Joseph had been tempted. Joseph had resisted that temptation with Potiphar's wife. He was innocent, but he was accused falsely of doing something wrong. He was punished. He was then restored, and he was exalted and given a new name. Now all the world were invited to come to him to be saved by the Savior of the world. He was the only one that had the answers when no one else did. The answers to the dreams that Pharaoh had had. He was the only one that had the authority to give that life, that food that people needed. And the other thing that we wanted people to recognize from today, and we wanted to get across to the children, if we'd have been doing it in there, we'd have been making a little more of this, is integrity pays. Because Joseph could have given in and gone with the temptation, particularly with Potiphar's wife, but he stayed true to what he believed was right, stood for what was right. It seemed like he'd only been punished for that, didn't it, when he was thrown in prison. It seemed like maybe if he'd have just done it, it would have been all right. But he stood for what was right. He had his integrity. It seemed to all go wrong, But then ultimately, it paid, and God honoured what he'd done, and his integrity paid, and he rose to the position he did. I was reflecting on this, and I wanted to say to you today, integrity always pays. If you keep your, if you keep doing what's right, it will go right in the long run for you. And as I thought through that, and I thought about life, I thought about my life, I thought about people who I talk to, it doesn't always seem that way, does it? Sometimes it is, but it doesn't always seem that way. However, I do believe that quite often in this life, that is the case when you keep your integrity. I think God often does honour that, and we do come out the other side in a better position, having honoured God in it. I think he does bless that. I really believe that. Is it foolproof? Does it always happen? I'd have to say no in this life, but I know that it ultimately will in the next. Which is why Jesus says, store up treasures for yourself in heaven rather than on earth. And our ultimate reward will come when we get there. So I'd encourage us all to act with integrity in this life, knowing that even though it may not seem to pay off now, quite often it will further down the line. And even if it doesn't in this life, it will in the next. I think this is one of the messages we can learn from Joseph, as well as just being utterly amazed at how again and again we see characters in the Old Testament foreshadowing the Christ to come. And through their lives, we can learn so much about Jesus and stand in awe of our God who knew it all and did it all and fulfilled it all. And he's still working in people's lives that way today. Shall we pray? Father God, I thank you for your story, his story, our great God, that we see throughout history. Lord, where you have in people's lives shown something of your love, your wonder, your story. And I thank you as we are learning today from the story of Joseph, and as the children have been doing in weeks gone by and will be continuing to do in the weeks to come. Thank you for the amazing parallels we see there with everything you did, Jesus. I pray that will help us today to just look again with fresh insight and awe at you and all that you are. Lord, we pray that you will help us to act with integrity the way that Joseph did in these stories. And Lord, if anyone is facing situations now where they feel like they're in a bit of a dungeon situation, a bleak situation, I've just asked that you'll help them, help each one of us to keep our eyes fixed firmly on you, to keep our hope in you, knowing that one day we'll be raised again. Help us to be patient and help us to keep our trust in you. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.